Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you for your word. And this morning we'll be looking at the word of God. And I pray that your word will speak to us this morning, that you will have a word of encouragement, a word of strength, a word of peace, a word of mercy, a word of comfort. Hallelujah. A word of strength. Hallelujah, Lord God. God, and I pray that you would move in our midst by your Holy Spirit this morning, God. That your Holy Spirit would be here, God, to bring your presence as well as your comfort and strength and peace and your faith, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You might have noticed this morning that things were a little different on the stage. We had a guest worship leader here this morning, James Taylor, for those of you who don't know him. And so thank you for being here. That's kind of a change. We don't normally have James here. Normally we have Jaron Brownell here, and he does a wonderful job week in and week out, and we love Jaron. And he will be here next week leading worship, and so we're excited about that. But, you know, things in life change. The world around us changes, and I believe that God created the world to be a changing world, that he didn't create it to be static and stay the same all the time. But you know what? We as human beings, we get a little uncomfortable with change, don't we? We're not sure we always appreciate change. And today, one of the things we're going to be doing is we're going to be honoring Christian and Megan for their faithfulness and commitment here at New Covenant. And that's going to bring change. They are leaving to go to another work, and they won't be here every Sunday after that. I hope they'll visit from time to time. And so that, and then also another change is happening, and so this might make you a little uncomfortable. There's Donna Hogg has been our church secretary for 11 years. 11 years. And she has found a full-time job. So she's excited about that. For the past 11 years, maybe not the entire 11 years, she's been working two jobs. She works here 30 hours a week, and that's just what she's scheduled for. She comes in on Saturdays and puts in extra time and has been doing that for years, and bless her heart. Thank you very much. And then also she works at a daycare center and goes after work here and stays there till 7, 8 o'clock, 5 nights a week. And so she's been very faithful, but God has blessed her by opening up a door for a full-time job. And so that's another change. And so you might be wondering, well, things are changing. What's wrong? And the fact is nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. What it is God gave us a changing world. New Covenant is not the same today as it was 30 years ago. It has changed. And so things change. And basically, we kind of get uncomfortable with change if it's not something we wanted, right? But yet, sometimes things change and it's not something you want. It's not something you planned for. But we're perfectly happy with change if it's something we want, right? We're perfectly happy with change if it's something we were planning for and wanting. But if it's something we didn't want, we're kind of uncomfortable with that, right? And that's kind of the human nature. But this morning I want to introduce you to the facts of life. The facts are things change. And guess what? You don't get to be a spectator. You get to be a participant. Everybody in life, no matter who you are, will experience change. Good things change, and maybe not so good things. You get disappointed sometimes in life. You know, I'm reminded of the movie The Princess Bride. And in that, there's a scene where the man in black is fighting Inoya Montego, whatever his name is. Yeah. My name is Inigo. My name is Inoyo, annoying you. And he's fighting him, and Manny Patinkin, the star that played Inigo, says, "Who are you?" And the man in black says, "No one of consequence." And then so they fight some more, and then Inigo Montoya says, "I must know." And the man in black says what? "Get used to disappointment." And that's my message this morning. If you're alive, you're going to experience disappointment in life. That's life. That's the way God created this world. Things have never remained the same. If you go back to Genesis in the Bible, in the garden, things were wonderful, weren't they? But guess what? They didn't remain the same. Sin came into the world, and the garden became a place where God couldn't allow Adam and Eve to stay. He kicked them out of the garden. Things change. Throughout the whole Bible, there's constant changing. And sometimes when things are changing, you feel out of control, don't you? Well, guess what? Control is an illusion. That you have any control over your life, that's an illusion. The only thing you have control over is your attitude. That's the only thing you have control over. And even that might be an illusion depending on whether you're how Calvinistic you are. But when things are changing, we need to remember two things. And I want to remind you of those two things this morning. We need to remember, number one, that God is in control. And number two, God doesn't change. God doesn't change. Let me give you some negative examples in the Bible. And when I say negative, I kind of have to use that word carefully, because all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And so even negative things work out for good. And so if you go back to the Garden of Eden and sin entered into the world, well, that was a negative thing. But guess what? God used it for good. He brought about a wondrous, an incredibly mysterious and wondrous thing through his Son, Jesus Christ. Theologians call it the hypostatic union. It's a very mystical name. I'm trying to figure out just exactly how God did that. How God became man and yet he was still God. It's absolutely mystical, but it's God didn't change in through all that. He just did something new. And God does new things. And he created this world to be constantly changing. Along came Jacob and Esau, and normally, you know, if things worked out the way they normally would, Esau would have received the birthright, the blessings of his father, the inheritance. But guess what? Esau was disappointed. It didn't happen that way. things change, and they're not always good. Sometimes they're bad. Joseph had a dream, and things changed. His brothers became jealous of him, and they wanted to kill him, all of them except Reuben. And Reuben said, you know, beat him up, mistreat him, just don't kill him. And they threw him in a pit, and life changed for Joseph, didn't it? But guess what? It worked out for good, didn't it? And so things change, and sometimes they seem very negative, but they do work out for good. And then sometimes things change, and it's very positive change. When Moses came along and he led the people of Israel out of Egypt, it was a very positive change, wasn't it? But guess what? He took them into the desert where there wasn't any food or water. And the Israelites weren't certain they were happy with that change. Let us go back to Egypt. At least there we had food. Well, God fed them in the desert, didn't he? So things change. God created this world to be a changing world. It's not boring, is it? Things don't stay the same. And if you think about the history of New Covenant, that, you know, in 1979, I started a little church, and we called it Christian Assembly. 1979, that's 38 years ago. Started a little church called Christian Assembly, and we were meeting in the Quality Inn up at 436 and I-4, and things changed. And we merged with a little church called Rock Church, and I was the pastor, and Don Cox was the pastor, and it was a very exciting time for the church. And then things changed again. We merged with another church called New Covenant Fellowship, and we changed our name from Christian Assembly to New Covenant Assembly. And we were meeting in Winter Springs Elementary School, and then things changed, and we met in the Seventh-day Adventist Church over on Moss Road, which is no longer, things changed for them too, because it became a synagogue. It's now a synagogue over there. And life changes, doesn't stay the same. And then after meeting in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we found property here, and we bought it, and things changed. And so life changes. Get used to it. It doesn't stay the same. You know, but if you look through Scripture, you can see a whole bunch of verses that you could actually change some of the words in it, and it reminds us that things change. Jesus came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," right? What does the word repent mean? It means change. Change for the kingdom of God. You change. The world changes, but you change. And that's what Jesus was saying. You know, hey, you can't stay the same. The world is changing. You change. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. You might say all changes work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And then again in Romans 8, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. You might say, in all these changes, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And so even though things change, we know we can be victorious through Christ Jesus. How about this one? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We could say, this is the day that the Lord has changed. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So things change. God created the world to be a changing world. It doesn't stay the same. It's always changing. He created day and night. He created seasons. He created all these changes constantly going on. He created storms. storms in life. And I think those are there for a reason. And so this morning I want to talk about how to deal with change. How do you deal with change? Number one, you remember that God is in control. And number two, you remember that God doesn't change. Even though the world around us is changing and that we need to change in our own lives, we need to remember that God is in control and that He doesn't change. He is a rock that we can look to. He is our refuge that we can always go to. So God is in control. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9 says this, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let me add something in there. All the time through changes in life, He is always with you. Do not be dismayed or tremble. Be strong and courageous, because God doesn't change and He's always with you. I want to draw your attention to Luke chapter 12, where Jesus talked about who's in control. Verses 22 through 26 says this. This is Jesus speaking, and it says, "And He said to His disciples, 'For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds?'" Listen to this, verse 25. "And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters?" God is in control. That's the whole message that Jesus is saying there. He's in control of the birds. He feeds them. He's in control of your life. Don't stress and worry about changes in life. Psalm 46, verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." He doesn't change and He's in control. He is a very present help in trouble. Why? Because He's always with you. He is very, very, very present. So point number one, God is in control. Point number two, we need to remember that God doesn't change. He created the world to be a changing world, but He doesn't change. Why? Because He's infinitely perfect, infinitely holy. He doesn't need to change. God doesn't change. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it says this about God. It says, "God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent." Remember, the word repent means change. He's not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should change. "Has He said and will He not do it? Or has He spoken and will He not make it good?" God is reliable. He is faithful. He doesn't change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." God doesn't change. And then James chapter 1 verse 17 says this, "Every good thing or every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadows." God doesn't change. And so, when in life you encounter various situations and circumstances that you come to, remember, God doesn't change and He's in control, no matter what you face in life. It's a bedrock of our faith to realize that God is faithful and that He doesn't change. A lot of times we look at the Old Testament and we say, well, that's not the same God that we see in the New Testament. Well, it is. Very same God. He doesn't change. I believe He does change the way He works with us, and we change the way we interact with Him. But in His nature and His characteristics is that He hasn't changed. God didn't suddenly become more merciful when Jesus Christ came along. He was merciful in the Old Testament. In fact, if you read through the Psalms, you hear the psalmist crying out, God, have mercy on me. And because they knew that God was merciful. Hallelujah. And so this morning we want to honor change in our midst. Christian and Megan are going to be going to another work just down the road, actually. And they're actually going to continue to live here on the property with us. And so it's going to be a change, but it's going to be a big change in their life and a big change in our life, but a small change really in this bigger scale of things. I would like to honor Christian and Megan myself. When they came here 2.5 years ago, they left a work in Malaysia and basically came here with everything that they had, and trust me, it wasn't truckloads. Everything that they had, they brought with them. And it was a few suitcases and boxes, and they brought Tiago with them. He was, what, two? Two at the time. Little Tiago, and he's gotten bigger and bigger and smarter and more talkative. You know, when he came here, he spoke in two languages. How many languages does he speak now?
One.
Just one. Before they came here, they stopped off in Guatemala for a couple of weeks to visit his grandparents there, and he came speaking two languages. Amen. And so they left virtually a going ministry and came here to try something new, and they were following God. They had prayed about it. We had prayed about it. We brought them here believing that this was God, and they came here believing this was God, and I believe it was God. And so after 2.5 years, God is changing things up, moving things around. But I want to honor them because they did step out in a leap of faith in their life and came here believing and trusting God. And so would you guys mind coming up and standing, and could I embarrass you a little bit? And in the 2.5 years that they've been here, they've added to our number. We have little Nora here who's sleeping. We don't want to wake her up. Even though I've never seen her cry. She probably has, but we just really appreciate their ministry in our midst. They have been nothing but faithful and committed to God's work since they've been here in our midst. And I want them to leave here with a blessing. And at the end of the service, I'm going to take up another offering, and that offering is going to go for them. And so I would like to bless them not only in prayer, as we're going to do now, but I would like to bless them in finance and help them along as they move into a whole new lifestyle. In fact, the house, for the past 2.5 years, they haven't paid a cent to live in that house. But going forward, they're going to be paying rent. So instead of getting a salary from New Covenant, they're going to be paying us rent. And so the whole table is going to turn. And so, but it's my heart to bless them. Is it your heart to bless them? And so I would like to do this. I would like us to, everybody, and you don't have to come forward, but everybody come forward, and I would like to pray for them. Lay hands on them and pray for them and send them out with our blessings. I'm going to pull this off to the side here. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you could just reach out with your hand, and if you can actually lay hands on Christian and Megan, that would be good. If you can't reach them, then lay your hand on the person in front of you, and we'll just all agree to bless them. Lord God, we just bless Christian and Megan right now and their family, Tiago and Nora, Lord God. We ask your blessings upon them. We ask the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon them, God. God, we pray, God, that this family that you have brought to us, God, we pray that you would bless them mightily, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Praise you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you just pray right now, right where you're standing, and pray God's blessing upon them, God, in Jesus' name. Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Father God. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Father God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Praise you, Father God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Praise you, Father God. In Jesus' name, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Oh, Lord of us. Praise you, Father God. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you might take a seat, I have a couple more things. Hallelujah. I asked Christian if he would like to say a few words, and before he actually leaves, this thing is not working. It's going to start working very shortly, and so...
Yes, yes, check, 1, 2, 1.
There you go.
First of all, thank you. Thank you for praying for us. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you. Like Pastor Greg said, we left Malaysia 2.5 years ago. Before we went to Malaysia, we went with 10 bags to Malaysia, and we thought we were leaving everything. We left Malaysia with 6 bags and a child that takes up half of those bags. And so we literally landed here with very little. It was one of those decisions that we knew it was either stepping on faith or being really stupid. And thank God, you know, even this is proof that it was God calling us here. And so we have no doubt. And every day we've been here, every minute we've been here at New Covenant, we've known that it is God who brought us here, and we're so thankful. And we just want to say thank you. in the short time we've known you guys, we've come to love you. We've come to learn from you a lot. One of the things we're thankful for many, many things, but like one of the biggest marks I've seen here at New Covenant is your generosity. For such a small church, you guys have the biggest heart I've ever seen. You guys have blessed us. We now have a house full of stuff, and a lot of it came from you guys as gifts. Miss Carolyn, she won't stop bringing us stuff. You know, she single-handedly has clothed our kids for the past year, and we're so thankful for, you know, all your shows of generosity. You guys help us set up, you know, our house. You guys helped us with a baby shower. You guys have helped us in many, many ways, and we will forever be thankful. You know, days like today are always bittersweet. You know, we're definitely excited to follow what God has prepared for us, and yet we are always saddened and we're grieving leaving New Covenant because we really have a deep love for New Covenant, and not as a building, but of you guys individually. I could literally say thank you to every single one of you, but I'm sure you guys want to get to lunch. And so I will refrain from doing that, but we're just very thankful. I got to say, it's not going to be easy for Tiago. It's not going to be easy for any one of us, but Tiago doesn't quite understand what's going on, and he's going to miss you guys. We're really going to miss you. Tiago, you guys, you know, we don't have a lot of family here, and God has provided in you guys family, and so we're very thankful for that. And like Pastor Greg said, we'll be living here for a while, or for as long as we, you know, for whatever long we're here, and our house has always been open, and I hope that, you know, this will be a reminder that our doors are always open. If you guys need anything ever, do let us know. We love you. We truly do deeply love you, and the fact that we won't be working here doesn't mean that the relationship or our love for you guys will change. And so please do know that you are loved. And if I just can say one last thing, is please pray for your leadership, support your leadership. I am a witness of the team that is working here. Pastor Greg, the elders, and the whole entire leadership team are working hard for what is coming in the future, and I'm excited for New Covenant. And support them and pray for them. You know, be supporting in everything. Be supportive of everything that they do. I am a witness of their heart and their love for this place that you guys have literally like built with your own hands. And you know, I love that. So, yeah, we love you. We will miss you deeply. And please drop by. We'd love to have you over for dinner. I'll cook, I promise. I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen. Amen. We are going to take up an offering for them at this point in time. And while the guys in the back are getting ready, I just want to share a couple things. I've thought back over the years about New Covenant, and I kind of noticed an interesting thing is that virtually all of the youth pastors that we've had that have been at New Covenant have gone on to do bigger and better things. I mean, literally much, much bigger and better things. We had our first youth pastor was Chris Maxwell, and went on. He pastored Evangel Assembly on the south end of town, and then he went on from then. He became the dean of men at Emmanuel College in Atlanta, I think. It's somewhere in Georgia. And not only that, he's written, authored several books, four or five books, Dory. How many? Eight books? Something like that. He authored numerous books and has been, you know, literally travels the world speaking to people, and he's been to Japan and all over the world, and so it's just absolutely incredible. And that's just one. Steve Hoag, who was our youth pastor later on, has moved on and become very he was the children's pastor at Calvary in Ormond Beach, and was there for years. And now he and his wife are missionaries to orphans and foster children. And Steve has actually, you know, he's invented things. He invented an inflatable children's church set that you blow up with a pump or something like that, and it becomes boom, and you got a children's church set. So anyway, so they have done great things. Many of the people that have worked here and gone on to do great things, but none of the pastors of New Covenant have ever gone on to do greater things. I think of Bob Hazen, who was the pastor for 15 numerous years, and he retired. He left us and retired. And then, you know, the other pastors you may or may not know about, they didn't do anything after they left here. And so hopefully I'm here to change things. I'm not allowed to leave, somebody says. And so... And it's certainly not my intention to leave, but I'm believing in great things for Christian and Megan, that they're going to go on and do great things. And even though at this point in time, we don't know what God has planned for them, but 5, 10 years, we're going to look back and say, hey, Christian Moscoso, he used to be the associate pastor here. And everybody's going to say, really? You know Christian Moscoso? Oh, yeah, I know him very well. Good friend of mine. And so I'm just believing great things for them. And so at this point, I would like to bless them with an offering. If you could see it into your heart to write a check or put some cash in the offering, I know that it's not, you're not doing it for me. You're not really, we're doing it for them, but we're doing it for God. To show God that we love them and want to bless them. And so if the guys had come forward, I would really like you to stretch your pocketbook if you can. If you can't, don't worry about it. Don't be under condemnation or guilt. But just know that it's our heart to bless them this morning. And so let's pray over this offering. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we pray, God, that through this offering that it would be a blessing to Christian and Megan, Lord God, that you would use this offering as a way to minister to them, Lord God. And we pray that this offering would go for the furtherance of your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.